Well, welcome everybody. We'll go ahead and call this meeting of the Navajo Revitalization Fund Board to order. My name is Evan Curtis. I'm the chair of the board and the governor's designee. We'll start with introductions. And actually, let's first go to item 1B on the agenda. We have a new representative from our attorney general's office as our legal counsel. So, Paul, I'll turn it over to you to introduce yourself to everybody, and then we'll go back to introducing everyone else.
Great. My name is Paul Thomas. I'm Assistant Attorney General. I've been with the state of Utah or Ohio for 23 years, so a lot of experience in state government. Been an attorney now for 29 years and just got this assignment, and I was excited to find out that we got to fly in, so I was happy with that. I've actually had a lot of different things involved with San Juan County before. I was counseling to the state record for 14 years, and so I'm probably going to be here for the next 9 years till I retire, and so I'm glad to meet all of you and Dean Margaret.
All right. Well, we're so happy to have you, and thanks for being here with us today in person. Appreciate that.
Did you break it?
It is broken.
No.
Sorry.
You put that one.
You know, that's a thing.
Yeah. I got a too. All right. So with that, we'll start off here with Commissioner Stubbs. Could you introduce yourself?
Okay, I'm Sylvia Stubbs. I'm the Commissioner Chair of San Juan County.
Yeah. All right. And then Commissioner Harvey.
Hi, good afternoon. Commissioner Harvey, District 3.
Thanks so much for being here. And then we have Herman Farley online representing the Navajo Utah Commission. Can you introduce yourself?
Yes, sir. Herman Farley, Red Mesa Chapter President. Glad to be on to serve and have a new seat. Thank you much.
All right. Thanks so much for being here. Appreciate it. So that, I believe, is all the board members we have. Yes. Willie Schwan. Willie Gray Eyes. All right, here we go. Can you just introduce yourself?
Leave and reintroduce. I can't get to.
Willie, can you hear us okay? Sounds like he's working on his audio for right now, but great to have Willie Gray Eyes as the other board member here with us online. So thanks so much for being here.
He dropped off.
Did he drop off? Okay. Well, let's go ahead to the room, then. We'll start going around the room, and if he comes back on, he can introduce himself. But we'll go over here to Mari, and we can just work over to her.
Thanks. Mari Bergman. I'm the finance manager of the Utah Navajo Trust Fund.
I'm John Nakai. I'm with Utah Navajo Trust Fund, project manager.
Janice Bitsui with Utah Navajo Trust Fund, project specialist.
I'm Rose Dandy. I'm a project specialist for UNPF.
Yes.
Good
afternoon. I'm Stephanie.
But it's okay. I moved it.
All right. Woody, we got you back. Can you hear us okay?
Too loud.
Okay. better than not loud enough, I guess. Well, we've got you.
Thank you. That's good.
Can you want to introduce yourself while you're unmuted?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Perfect. Thanks for being here with us. All right. We'll keep going around.
Good afternoon. I'm Clarence Rockwell, NAFLA Utah Commission.
Mac McDonald, San Juan County Administrator.
Thanks for being here. And we'll...
Jennifer Domenici, I'm the Assistant Director in the Housing and Community Development Division.
Paul Moberly, the Navajo Revitalization Fund Administrator.
Michael Mose, here with the Housing and Community Development Office.
All right, great. And that is everyone in the room. Online, we have Janelle. Do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself again?
Good afternoon. My name is Janelle Sosi. I am the accounts maintenance specialist here at Navajo Mountain Chapter.
All right. Wonderful. Thanks for being here with us. And then Veronica.
Hi, I'm Veronica Salazar. I am the contract analyst with the Department of Workforce Services.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I can't see that.
Sorry, it's still too loud.
Oh, there, and the other Janelle, is that the same Janelle?
That's different Janelle.
Okay.
Mel Quiros, I am with Housing and Community Development.
Great, thanks for joining us, Janelle. All right, and then Stephanie?
Hey, I'm Stephanie Johnson. I am with Department of Workforce Services and the Finance.
Great, thanks for being here. And then Todd?
Hey, I'm with Housing and Community Development, just listening in for today.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. Did I miss anybody in the introductions? I think we got everybody. All right. Well, again, thanks so much for joining us today. We will now move on to item 2, approval of the minutes. This would be from our March 21st board meeting. Hope everyone's had a chance to review those. As I reviewed it, I didn't see any issues that I had concerns with. Any other board members, any questions or updates to the minutes? If not, I would accept a motion.
I'm going to make a motion to approve the.
All right, we have a motion to approve the minutes. Do I hear a second?
I hear a second.
All right, we have a second from Herman. Any questions or discussions on that motion? All right, hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 And aye. All right. Rule that is unanimous. We will now move to item number 3, current balances. Paul, are you going to go through that or with someone else on the team?
Stephanie could.
All right. Stephanie, can you walk us through those balances?
You bet. So we have the Onuth chapter at $427,159.24 available. Denotso at $53,469.59 available. Mexican Water at $249,299.91. Navajo Mountain at $360,332.75. Olyada at $1,154,654.14. Red Mesa at $203,100.85. Tenospos at $223,848.35. And then unallocated interest right now is at $392,208.22.
That changed a bit then?
Yeah, that's changing.
Okay.
Stephanie, can you repeat the unallocated interest? It's
$392,208.22.
Well, great. Thank you for going through those. Are there any questions or items to discuss on those chapter balances?
Can I have some Ojetro funds for Red Mesa?
Well, I'm not hearing anyone saying yes. Sorry. Good question, though. All right. If there are no other questions, we'll go ahead and move on to item number 4, board business. And first up is we wanted to have a quick discussion on an emergency response policy. Currently, the board does not have any policy for if there are emergencies that arise as part of these projects. And so I'm going to turn some time over to Paul, maybe just talk through this a little bit. But I think right now we really just want to have some discussion among the board on whether or not this is something we would like to have so we can be prepared for those future emergencies. If you have any thoughts specifically on what type of policies we would consider, and then I think the idea would be we would have staff go back and draft something for us to review and vote on in a future meeting. But Paul, I'll go ahead and turn it to you so you can kind of maybe talk through that for us.
Okay. So with the situation that came up recently with the was the Navajo Mountain Senior Center? So just for those who might not have been aware, there was the septic tank was full and backed up and caused an issue there, a health issue, and there was an attempt to rapidly respond to the situation. It was an urgent issue, and you know, a lot of emails bounced around and back and forth, and that kind of got Evan and I, we were talking a little bit and trying to figure out how we could maybe be part of that solution. We had Tony actually suggested that we change the scope of work on a grant that we had for that senior center to kind of encompass and be able to respond to that issue after the fact. But that just kind of spun what we were talking about. Like, is it possible for us to have some kind of policy in place that we could help the chapters when stuff like this arises? Not, you know, it wasn't a very large expense, but we needed those funds available quickly. And so if there's some way that we could figure that out, that's what we were trying to go for.
Any thoughts from the board?
Well, you know, I got a call on Friday from the senior manager. She was struggling with some clients taking, I assume, to medical, some kind of a medical or something. Anyway, so she called me to see if anything we could do because we're having problems accepting things. And it's the weekend. It was really hard to get hold of people. I tried different emailing. Finally, on Monday, I got hold of Tony Davis, and we started some this and trying to figure out how we could help. But then it's not only septic tank. They have another component that collects the grease, and that's one of the biggest issues right now. And when they went to try to take the grease out, they found it has a hole, and that had been going into the ground. I mean, all the grease, and so it almost like they're looking. I mean, when I got an email yesterday, I keep checking, and I keep. They have to realize the circumstances. They are far away from any big city. First, it's trying for somebody to pump the septic tank, and then find a place to, you know, to get rid of it. And everything takes different directions to go to be able to do that. And so even though it's a small thing for somebody in a regular city, for them over there, it's just, it gets so complicated. And it has been for, you know, it's just taking longer and longer since life. But anyway, so I think they probably, for critical things, whereas this is health issue, I think it'd be nice to have an emergency number or something where we can call and have people, we can make decisions. I think there's some things that can wait, but I think with this, when you've got something that's backing up, and the seniors depend on those meals, and it's kind of hard to cook when you have not only the septic tank, but when they cook, the grease have to go somewhere. So anyway.
Okay.
Any
other thoughts from board members on what they would like, yeah, at least as it goes, as far as NRF is concerned?
Yeah, this is Herman.
Yeah, go ahead, Herman.
I believe this is a very significantly important, as it depends on how you characterize unforeseen emergency situations. I guess you could really mean that we had some burnouts in our community, in our respective community areas. And in order to expedite for a new home or renovation, whatever it may be within that, I think there'll be one of them. Based upon the fire department report, police report, and that can, that couldn't be further be delayed for any other reason, because it'll be immediate need. And then the other one is that the weather-related matters. Well, just recently, we had some a real good rain, and we had some washouts in our community roads, and completely washed out. We end up torn up the road, the flats, and so there's a need, immediate need to respond to recover and mitigate that the need there, and trying to get the equipment operator or a backhoe or either a grader to fix up the road is becomes a problem because of the various clearance circumstances and so forth. But the need is there because we have some community members on those routes are there are dialysis patients or in medical need and elders and stuff like that. So, you know, I think this proposal of respond to unforeseen circumstances as far as recovering with the funding portion, maybe I don't know if this what it is all about is respond with the funding sources that to remediate the situation pretty quickly. Is that what it is? Is that how I understand this? Allowing the flexibility.
For yeah, I think that's what we're trying to figure out is we don't currently have a policy that would guide those types of emergency response situations, but because there is that resource that's available to the chapters, I guess the question for the board is, you know, is that something we would like staff to work on creating? I'm hearing from the two who have spoken so far that there probably is a need and desire to look at that, and there are issues that do arise. And so one of if I'm hearing you correctly, Herman, maybe one of the things we need to start with is just defining what would constitute an emergency and being able to define that. And then, you know, what would the process be, and are there, you know, specific amounts or things we need to look at as far as limiting that? So that's kind of what I'm hearing so far from the board.
Chairman.
Go ahead,
Willie. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. My name is Willie Gray Eyes from the most isolated Navajo community of the Navajo Nation, not just on Navajo Mountain. Being in a remote, isolated area, it's a costly service costs to having, as mentioned, roads, house. We don't even have a fire hydrant. We have a burnout, like the gentleman said. And those are not addressed adequately at this time. So in order to do this, I think there needs to be some flexibility in our policy to harness some of these monies to purchase goods and service needed in an emergency. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Am I hearing anyone who's opposed to the idea of pursuing this kind of a policy then? Sound like it. Herman, did you have a comment?
Yeah. You know, this is really a strategic and a good plan to put in place. In order to proceed to draft our outline of this emergency respond or a draft of policy. No, I think the seven chapters need to give a support resolution to give approval and say okay to give a to tell the board to go ahead and proceed with this initiative. And I would think that we need to go ahead, take this back to the chapter and inform our community members about it. Have these chapters pass a resolution in support.
Okay. Would you prefer to have that resolution passed before working on the policy, or just have them support a policy that is drafted?
I would rather see a draft policy that's been put in place, and then we'll proceed with that as an as a document that we have in our hands to prove that this is what the policy is being drafted, and we need the chapter resolution to support that.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
I was just going to I could offer a starting point for what we're possibly thinking about or doing, if that's okay.
Yeah.
When we were talking over this over, one idea is that there's usually quite a bit of funding in project current projects that are allocated but not spent. So the funds have been allocated, but they're available. And one idea was that maybe to give access to those funds, or that if whatever criteria the board comes up with, if those were met, that the access to those funds could be made available essentially immediately. As long as the board has already approved that action, and then at the next meeting, the board could discuss that and then maybe recharge those funds in that project. Depending, or I don't know if we could do a different way, maybe approve a change of scope of work of one of those. That's another way we could do it, but something that accesses those currently already allocated funds, though, because there is quite a bit of funding in that.
Okay. No, I like that. And I wonder if maybe it would be helpful if we had something on paper that the board could look at and respond to. I like where you're going with that idea. If the board is comfortable with that, maybe we could do that. I don't know if we necessarily need a motion to do that, but if anyone is interested in making one, we could certainly do it that way and make it more official.
I just want to add a little bit to the comments. I think not only the funds is important, but contact people is important, because there's a couple of times we're having some emergency like that, trying to find people, it's just really hard. And so I like it with our board, it'd be easy to find somebody to say we're having this issue on it, and then things can start happening. And what happened is when a situation like this, everybody's calling everybody. Pretty soon you can have two or three people trying to help and end up being like, then people back up because they think, well, they're taken care of, but then you find out it wasn't quite that way, and so end up being a little bit confused. Well, because people are desperate, they need help, and this is very real. And when they see something like this, so it'd be nice to be able to have a procedure that, yeah, maybe it can be two or three different people they can call and different agency, whatever, but knowing that at that point probably start working together. What can you do? What you can do? I don't know. But I think it may take a partnership such as I born.
Yeah.
Because at one point our hotel system got involved with some of the things to know too. So
sure. Now I think then having that policy in place, I think will help staff to be able to respond much more quickly without having to go through further channels. Commissioner Harvey, you had your hand raised for a moment. Did you have a comment or a question? Jamie, did you have a question or a comment?
Oh.
Okay.
Paul?
Yeah, go ahead, Herman.
Yeah, a couple questions. One is that could the NRF funds be established as a set aside emergency fund, or could that could just be automatically to be drawn out of the chapter allocation? And then my other question is that if there's an emergency, could that require a emergency declaration, either by the Navajo Nation, state, county, or at the chapter level? Could that be one of the requirement, the component to be made, or just emergency happens, something that we just brought out earlier, just take it as is. That's my question.
I mean, we have legal counsel here as well, thankfully. the board can draft up a policy and work through that and figure out what works best. If you need that emergency declaration or not, that's up to the board if they want to have that as the criteria. As far as the set aside, that's into realms that I don't know. I think one aspect, I guess, I think we'll need to think over that one. but again, the board can do, they have a ability to make their own rules and policies. So,
well, and like I say, I think today we mostly just wanted to kind of broach the subject and have this conversation, and that gives us something we can, that staff can go back and look at, and we can maybe figure out if there are avenues that can be pursued with regard to that. Unless someone has a specific motion just to keep the meeting moving, maybe I could just suggest, if there are any other comments, let's go ahead and take them. But otherwise, I'll just suggest that maybe staff take some of these ideas that we've discussed today, and then we can maybe compile a draft that the board can review at our next meeting, and then also take back to the chapters for their review as well. Does that sound like a good approach to everybody at the board?
I think so.
Yeah, this is Herman again. Chair. I'll make a motion to that effect.
Chair.
Yeah, go ahead, Willie.
Yeah. I think there needs to be a draft criteria of that would determine the degree of emergency along with the policy. A measuring stick, so to speak.
I like that.
So whoever is delegated to declare declaration of emergency can use that measure instrument and determine, yes, we do have emergency, rather than just going without justification, so to speak. Thank you.
Perfect. All right. Thanks so much. So we have a motion on the table to have a staff work on drafting a policy for further discussion. Do I hear a second on that motion?
I'll second the motion.
All right. We have a second from Commissioner Hardy. Any discussion to that motion? All right. All in favor?
Sure.
Let's actually do a roll call vote. Oh, wait, go ahead. Is someone speaking?
Commissioner Harvey.
Commissioner Harvey, did you have something else to add on discussion?
I just wanted to get a clarification. Also, just wanted to agree with Willie, Mr. Gray Eyes, his recommendations to move forward with a draft policy that we can all get a copy of. And I think he mentioned something about having a criteria in the policy.
Yes.
But I think what's the timeline we're looking at for the policy to get out to us for that draft?
That's a good question. I don't know if you had an idea in mind on how long it would take your team. I would imagine this is something we could just bring back at the next meeting, which would probably be in September timeframe to further discuss. Ready, then we could take action at that point, but
unless you wanted to do something in between meetings, like virtually somehow or just bounce it. If you direct me, direct me and I will
know. Any thoughts on that, Commissioner Harvey? On what timeline does that work? I'm getting a thumbs up, so for the recording's sake, okay. So we have a motion and a second on the table. Any other discussion? All right. Again, I'll just do a roll call vote since we have online folks. So I'll start with Herman Farley.
Aye.
Willie Gray Eyes?
Aye.
Jamie Harvey?
Aye.
And Sylvia Stubbs?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. So, all right. Thanks so much for that great discussion. I think this would be a helpful policy to have in place. And so we'll look forward to reviewing that draft at our next meeting. So, all right, moving on to item 4B. We have a report from San Juan County on the Inclusive Employment Study. This is something that we funded just a little over a year ago. And one thing I would like to do more often in the future is just have an opportunity to revisit some of the items that we funded to see what's happened with them. And so I really appreciate you for coming and taking a few minutes with us to give us an update on it.
Pass these out real fast. Which four are there? Side. I've got two left down here.
Well, I can share. I'll share here. So,
okay. Yeah, come up here and sit with you guys so you can hear me. Especially those online can hear as well. Jim.
I'm sharing.
I'm sharing.
Well, I also sent you one for online. I don't know if you're able to
pull it up
to share that. Yeah. Well, anyway, I appreciate the opportunity to come here and present, give you an update on this whole entire project. Let me kind of give you a history and background before I get into the actual study results and the way forward. Several years ago, I was sitting in my office. Again, my name is Mac McDonald, County Administrator for San Juan. I was sitting in my office and understanding kind of the demographics of San Juan County. We're about 50%, just a little over 50% Native American here in the county. And looking at my workforce just at an administrative level, you would think that that population representation would also be included in our employment. So county employees would be 50% representative Native American, and they're not. And then I take it up a level and I look at, well, let's look at our leadership, you know, our division directors, deputy directors, directors within our departments. You would think that that population trend would carry through with that as well, and it didn't. I've seen an opportunity with ICMA. ICMA is the International City County Management Association that I've belonged to. I've belonged to for pretty much all my career. And I've seen a grant opportunity from them, the ability to take a look and establish economic mobility initiatives within your area. So I had, knowing that that population really wasn't representative in county government, you know, what can we do to try to get that population back into government and especially employ more Native Americans in our workforce here at San Juan County. So we applied for the grant and was awarded the grant of $30,000 to do this study. So that's kind of the premise behind all of this, is really looking at your community, and especially if you have impoverished communities, which San Juan County is, knowing San Juan County's poverty level throughout. Also in conjunction, we have the tribal governance that also exists here. And so we were awarded that grant to explore opportunities of how we can pick up the economic levels, the poverty, improve the poverty levels here within the counties, whether it's a city or a state or the county level. And so we chose, you know, to go forward with this study and try to figure out what are some of the barriers. And then it kind of, as I step back in conversations that I had with like some of the public sector government agencies, you take, for example, the Forest Service. You would think that with the Forest Service, there would be a lot of Native Americans that were employed in the Forest Service. Then you look at the BLM and that segment of population within the BLM, state government, kind of the same as you would think here in this area that would represent that 50-50 split of Native Americans in those sectors as well. And it doesn't. And so it's like, okay,
how do we fix that? How do we encourage, it's time, how do we encourage our adults to apply for these government sector jobs? All of us have job openings, and some of those job openings have specific requirements that can be barriers to Native Americans. And so it was really a hard look at the whole entire system. And then it kind of, when you consider the government systems within the Navajo Nation or the Ute Mountain Ute tribes and those government sectors, you kind of get into this sense of like, well, who is training at a lower level for our kids and our youth to go into government sector jobs? So we kind of did a study. If you look on page 37 of this report, were you able to get it?
It didn't affect it.
Okay. So I did it. Oh, yes, okay.
Oh, no.
Okay, so if you look on page 37, I believe. So we went to White Horse High School and just kind of did a sample set of some of the students there. What are you guys interested in when you grow up? For me, I remember sitting and having a discussion with family members when I was a younger age. We had a locally owned construction company, owned a sawmill, owned the hardware store here in southern Utah. And that was my destiny, really, was to go into construction and take over family business, things like that. But I had an uncle that told me, he's like, you know, you gotta consider government. Go into government because you'll always be cool in the summer, hot in the winter, you know, pretty easy job. And so I had that tucked away in the back of my mind. But there was a spark that was created that pushed me into government sector jobs. Now, fast forward in my timeline, 20 years, now I've been in some form of government, whether it's federal, state, or county, or even city. In my career has always been that, but it was a push, it was a fire, that little spark that was started. Then you take in, fast forward through time, it's like, how do we get our youth, you know, looking at these government sector jobs? So when we did this study of youth and kind of what they're interested in, we kind of found out that we just kind of gave them, you know, stickers that they could stick on a board, like what interests you right now. And if you look at kind of the results, you know, most of the results come up with public health nurse. Some of them you have city treasurer, you have a Native American coordinator, has two on there, a fire technician, which is really poignant now. You had four the students that were interested in that. So really when you break down economic mobility is trying to understand your communities and then creating the pathways and the systems for your communities, for your youth to be kind of given that nudge, that spark that I had that kind of pushes them into these deficit employment opportunities that we continue to have in the county or within the state. And so with some of the results of that, you even take it further. You know, I look at some of our local leaders. You know, for example, you have Stephanie here from the Navajo Utah Commission. One day she will retire. Well, who is going to take her place? Is there a youth, you know, a student out there right now that's in school, like, hey, I'm watching Stephanie or hearing about Stephanie's role. Okay, she's going to retire one day and I want to replace her. What do I need to do to get to that level? And what we're finding out from this study is there's a lot of barriers in place for kids. Obviously, one of the biggest one is internet access. And so we understand that we have this digital deficit here in the county. And so we're trying to solve that piece with some of the federal grants that we have in the county so that we can get that digital access to our kids so that when Stephanie retires, at least they'll be able to see the job announcement. But if not, you know, most kids nowadays have a cell phone and they can connect through their cell phone. Well, are our jobs bulletin boards, are they available through mobile devices, or are they stuck on a website, you know, that is not accessible by phone? So the study kind of delves into all of these barriers. When you consider, you know, Native Americans and the conflict with the U.S. government, Well, sometimes it's not fun to work for the U.S. government if you're Native American, just because of all the problems in the past. And so you have this barrier and this hurdle that needs to be whether softened or just create the pathway to get past that cultural divide. But first, you have to understand that there are those barriers that are out there. And so we took a look at some of those barriers that kids will face here. Education, being able to graduate. A lot of our positions at a director level require a college degree. Well, if even graduating high school, there's a low percentage here in San Juan County that actually graduate high school. And so if we have a problem graduating Native Americans, and then with our job expectations that they have a college degree, they're never going to get along that path. So it's even looking at our job descriptions, and you know, the governor this last year, he announced that the state, you know, hey, we're going to take off this requirement that we require these college degrees, because sometimes these trade programs or experience actually weigh a little bit higher than that. And so it's looking at our county policies, and that's kind of what the study shows, is that county or state, federal government, we really need to look at our job descriptions and make sure that they're understandable and that they're clear in the language that we're asking for. Oftentimes when I've sat within our departments and we review job descriptions, we create the job descriptions on a technical know-how basis and expect the citizens and the public to understand what we're saying. Well, there's a disconnect between our youth looking at these job descriptions and what we're hoping to get as an employee. And so one of the recommendations here in this study is you need to reach out to those Native Americans and have them review the job descriptions to make sure that they're culturally responsive, but they're also that they're understandable. And then if there are those jobs that don't really necessarily have to have a degree, but can have that workforce experience that could equal a degree or life experience, other employment experience that can match and model that, well, then there's a better pathway that we can employ in our measures of hiring employees, and especially on the Native American front. And so that's kind of some of the results of the study that we're looking at. Obviously, for us, with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, who is really the funder behind all of the grant funds, as well as the NRF match of $30,000, we continue this project forward. The next steps with us, you know, I watched the chapters, and I look at that chapter organization. Sometimes we think in government, those employees have to come to us. So in the county government, county seat is in Monticello. Well, you take somebody from Aneth or Ocheto, that's a jaunt. That's a pretty big distance to travel to the county seat to be employed there. Well, hopefully we can impress in their minds that you have your own government sector here at the chapters. You know, that whole chapter structure within the Navajo Nation. It's like there are opportunities within the chapters. I watched a couple of years ago in Mexican Water, where Martha at the time was the chapter manager. She quit. And then I'm like, wow, how do you become a chapter manager? Well, and if I was wondering that, here I am in a government sector job. You know, it would be interesting to educate our youth, like, hey, you can be a chapter manager at your local level here in Ocheto. You don't have to travel to Monticello to work in the Forest Service, BLM. How about working in your own government? How about you working for the Navajo Nation itself and taking a position within the Navajo Nation? Well, how do we do that? And how do we create that path? So in this study, some of the results on it, I think it's found on like page 17, 18. Where it starts to get into, let me see here. So it starts to get into some of the entities that we've explored as stakeholders. And part of it is working with, you know, the Dene College, things like that, that the Native Americans will know a little bit closer with, as well as the Navajo Nation employment sector, and working with them to try to figure out how are they educating their citizens. How are we going to step up and improve kind of our education and awareness and our communication out to those Native Americans so that they know that You know, if I get my high school diploma, you know, and go on to college and get a degree, then I can come back home, or I could stay at home, get my education, and have a career with a retirement. And as especially where there's sustainable careers, that's probably the most important, is looking for those family sustainable careers, all at a local level from El Chico. Then we paved that path for that economic mobility where we can increase, you know, their income levels, have them stay at home, have them participate and keep their culture and traditions alive, and not necessarily have to leave to become educated and have their career established and then come back home at a later date. It's trying to create that pathway for our students at an early age to stay here. But first we have to understand what is it they're interested in. When we look at some of the college courses here at USU, they're really not representing what our students are wanting today. What we're hearing from the students, like for example, out at Westwater, some of the students out there, the Ute tribe, they're super interested in technology. Obviously, they may be gamers, playing on the PlayStation all day, but nevertheless, they want to go into technology sectors. Well, if government, if we don't have those technical jobs that allow for technology to be, you know, on that perspective or that spectrum where it's improving and increasing opportunities, then they're not going to be interested in going into government sector jobs. And so as we learn about and implore AI, AI is a big component, and it's kind of on the tip of the tongue of every government entity of how do we incorporate AI into our jobs, and you know, what are the downfalls and what are the improvements that we can make? Well, those youth today that are interested in technology can actually go into a field where they are learning AI and how to implore it and how to improve it and how to create these systems to create better efficiencies in government sector jobs. Or you take the drone today, you know, everybody it seems like is wanting a drone, and these kids want to know how to work on drones. So it's working with USU to establish a program that kind of gives those students that are at an early age, whether elementary or high school, this thought of, hey, if I continue in high school and I graduate and I can go to college and I can be a drone tech at a later date. And you tell me what government agency nowadays doesn't have a drone within their system. You look at public safety, you know, the fires that are out here at Navajo Mountain, they're flying drones now to report the fire movement. And so having our youth, you know, focus on, hey, if we can get a career path and that education here for drone repair, then it just kind of builds this model of where our students can live, work, play, stay, probably more importantly, stay here. And so that's kind of what this study is about. The next steps for us is really reaching out to, you know, Red Mesa. We've got to go to Red Mesa, find out what Herman Farley's chapter, what they want, and how we can implore this mobility at that chapter level, and who is it within the Red Mesa community that we need to speak to. And so that's kind of the next steps of this project, is taking it forward back out to the community, talking to the stakeholders, and doing the final development of this program throughout all of our communities here in San Juan. So overall, that's kind of the gist of where we're at and what we're doing.
Well, fantastic. This has really been great to hear. I really appreciate you taking the time to kind of give us this update and just what you're doing. It was interesting looking through this and seeing some of the stakeholders and the efforts that you've gone to. Are there any questions from the board while we've got them here?
I just want to make a comment as a former educator. When you educate a person, you educate generations. I had the opportunity to be in Alcomont for graduation. 100% graduation, senior graduation, 11 students, amazing students. And while I was there, I had the opportunity to see a 17-year-old boy, they think to run into the college, got to the programs I had there. He's a father of seven in Oklahoma. And one of his sons was graduating. And another former student was an educator herself, just a person with special needs, that she came and learned stuff at the college, and she was so emotional when she saw she couldn't talk, and her aunt was telling me things about what she'd been doing, and then she said to me, I just do what you tell me, and it was just so nice. But I think seeing, I have been able to see up to a third generation students that are still out there, having a third generation coming to the college. And I think when we do something like this, upper mobility, it's not only for one person, it's whole families, whole. And so I think this is what opportunity I get to go with. I got to go with Matt to Maryland, Washington, D.C. with that one grant. And so many good things have come to the county just because of this one grant. All the opportunities that come to us.
Wonderful. I completely agree. So again, thank you so much for taking the time to walk us through this. And I'm excited to have you back maybe even in a year or two to
Absolutely.
See how things are going with it. And
a year would be perfect.
So perfect. So all right. Well, thanks. Thanks so
thank
much.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Gray-Eyes.
Yeah. Thank you for the report, Mr. Madong.
Yeah.
Really sounds real. Realistic and from being a Native American, I experience what is has been mentioned, the obstacles that have been that I had been encountered. So I'd like to request for a hard copy so I can further distribute and share with my community.
Okay, we'll get you a copy.
Thank you.
All right. Well, perfect. Herman, did you have a comment?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, go ahead. Mama.
Yeah. Thank you, Matt, for your presentation. It's a great idea. I would say that, you know, from the county standpoint, then you also work with the San Juan County Superintendent of Education. And along that line of this perspective, grant proposal that's can be administered, I think it will sustainably encourage and provide the build up a curriculum in these type of courses and in our educational system within our our level of services in San Juan County, Southern Utah, the Navajo Nation. And if there could be some courses, similar courses that could be provided in the curriculum, at the elementary, junior high, and high school level, I think there'll be something that the students may get quite a bit of an education as well. And this program, it sounds like there's an existing program that's already being coordinated and administered. It's through the Elk Petroleum, and there's this one an organization that works with White Horse High School. That some of these some of our students are dropout students, and they're trying to pick up some of these students, and then within the students are they're going to school at the same time. It's just some similar to a STEM program, Yes. Science, technology, engineering program. And, you know, it sounds similar to that, the way the setup is. And I really appreciate this program that's being offered. And I just want to make a comment on that, Paul. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Herman. Appreciate it. Great feedback. And then, Commissioner Harvey, you have your hand up?
Yeah, I was just curious, this item, did we need to motion to approve? And then I just have some comments to add.
Yeah, this is just an informational item. So, yeah, go ahead and make your comments, and then we can move on to the funding items.
Okay, so just real quickly, a real big appreciation to Mac. I know he really wanted to look into ways to increase Native American involvement with county and local government. And so I know his initiative was to get this study done. And just for everyone's knowledge, the report is new to us as county commissioners as well. And yesterday, Mac was able to share that that report that was completed. And I think with Talia Hansen, our economic development representative for the county, like Mac was saying, we would like to take this information to all the Utah chapters and especially look at the recommendations of the report so that we can get the elected officials recommendations on what they think would be helpful and recruiting more youth, more younger Native Americans to gain an interest in county, state, federal jobs. You know, like right now the county is looking for a public health director. And by state statute, that public health director requires a minimum of a master's degree. And that's, you know, that's a good opportunity. And I'm sure there would be some good candidates from the reservation. And they don't really know how to apply for those positions because they don't know what education requirements are there. And I think as we work with the local chapters and get their input through the visits that Talia, us as commissioners go out and share this report, it'll help strengthen how we can recruit more natives into the government positions that are there for our community members. That's just all I wanted to add. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you again for the presentation. I love the project. I love the report, and I love the discussion. So thanks, everybody. Right.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. We will then move on to item number 5, project applications. And in the interest of time, maybe what we could do is actually just, unless there's any objections, obviously, we can certainly discuss them individually. But I was thinking we could maybe go by chapter. So we can start with the Navajo Utah Commission and then Ojeto. And then Savo Mountain. Looks like we just have those three groups today. So we maybe start with 5B. We have Navajo Utah Commission, the Utah Chapter Housing Project. Paul, do you want to introduce this one? And then if there's anything else that anyone wants to add, of course, we can certainly discuss it in greater depth.
Sure. So this is a project
Revitalization Board meeting. Your projects are on there.
This is a project that we've already funded. Let's see. Yeah, $420,000 on in match up their funds. So they're asking for an additional $145,000 to build 7 homes in each of the chapters here. And it will require a motion to allocate funding to the non-chapter account to do this, to cover this, because there is nothing in the non-chapter.
So that comes from either interest or the...
We have, but what was it?
392.
Yeah, in interest, so.
Send me the link.
Hey.
Email me the link.
So this is that established housing chapter housing project that we have already done some of this. So it looks like it's an additional $145,000 that we need to come in non-chapter funds. Are there any questions or discussion from the board or anything else that the Navajo Utah Commission would like to add to that presentation?
Sure. I don't have anything more to add unless there's questions. I'd be glad to answer.
Great. All right. So any questions or discussions from the board? If not, I would have.
What's a question? There's seven homes in each chapter?
One in each of the seven chapters.
Okay. No, I was just
going to,
I was getting excited. Seven
after that is
amazing.
But
this is
exciting
too, because seven.
Yes, and with the match from the Owen Walker Housing.
Yeah.
So this has been a cool program. All right.
Not hearing
any questions, or do I hear a motion?
Hello, yeah. This is Herman.
I'd like to
make a motion to approve these project applications that are on the agenda. Ojeto Art Clearance 5A, 5B, 5C, and 5D.
And actually, if I could, Herman, could we just limit it, this one just to 5B for this motion, since we haven't heard the other presentations?
All right. Okay.
Thanks. All right, so we have a motion to approve 5B, and just to make sure I'm clarifying that motion, that would include moving the funding from the interest portion, interest balance, to the non-chapter balance. Is that correct?
Is it just A through D?
Sorry, no, this is just for 5B. So we just be approving item 5B, and just want to make sure, Herman, on your motion, you're okay with that, moving from the interest to the non-chapter. Herman, did I restate your motion correctly?
Yeah, that'll be my motion, yeah.
Okay. Thanks so much. Just want to make sure we got that correct for the recording. We have a motion on the table. Do I hear a second?
I'll second that, Commissioner Harvey.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion to that motion? All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And I am an aye. It appears to be unanimous, but are there any opposed? All right. That is unanimous. All right. Thanks so much. So now we will go ahead and go on to the Ojeto chapter project. So this will be 5A, 5C, and 5D. And Paul, do you just want to give an overview of those? And then again, if there are any specific questions on any of them, we can certainly discuss those.
So the 5A and 5C are both archaeological clearances and land surveys, including biological clearances, the inputs required for home site leases. And that's for Tanya Yazzie and Donnie Clark. Each of those is $475. The Utah Navajo Trust Fund is matching $475 as well on those. Okay. And then 5D is a new home for Winifred Linda Atteen. Thank you.
Just like my own net.
And this is a request for $70,840 for a new 1,232 square foot 3-bed 2-bath home, and UNTF is matching the same amount on that one as well, or will.
Okay. All right. Are there any questions, members of the board, on any of those three projects?
Yeah. Question.
Go ahead.
Yeah. This is Herman again. Just a question to where if there's all the matching funds are made available to these projects, is there matching funds all there for these projects?
Yes, from the trust fund.
Have they been approved yet? I don't know if these have been approved yet, Maury. You know?
Winifred has.
Okay. I don't recall seeing those already.
The other two don't look familiar.
Okay. So one of them has already been approved with the trust fund, and then the other two have not yet. So we would be the first approval, and then the trust fund would still have to approve those. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, well, I guess this can be made the base the first approval for others to take precedent. So I'll make a motion for approval.
All right. And so are you moving to approve all of the LJTEL projects?
Second.
All right. Okay. So we have a second from Willie Gray Eyes. All right. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion to the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 And aye. Any opposed? Okay, that is unanimous. Thank you so much. We will now move on to the Navajo Mountain projects. And Paul, I'll turn it back over to you.
All right. So we also have three archaeological and land survey, archaeological clearances and land surveys for Navajo Mountain as well. Each of those is for $450, and they are requested to match with UNTF as well. There's one for each of these people, Cleveland Drake, Katrina Kinsel, and Melinda Greymountain. Like before those, the inputs for the home site leases. On the other project, this is a little bit different. This is going back to that, the septic issue that happened. And there, it's possible that was already taken care of with other funding, but we wanted to give the opportunity, if it needed to be done, that we could amend the scope of work on Grant 502, which has in it the senior center improvements, I think is what it's in the scope right now, but to include more items. That was Tony brought that forward, and so I wanted to bring it in front of the board.
Okay. All right. Any questions on those items?
Motion.
All right, we have a motion from Mr. Gray Eyes. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Third.
All right, we've got a second and a third.
Getting too crowded.
All right.
I comment. I got a letter, email from Alta.
Okay.
I said, is she talking about? She was supposed to change an amount from 1,800 to 2,000. We sent an email to UNTF.
Is that on the senior center?
Yeah, we got the senior center. Oh. And anyway, I can forward you the email. I don't know, but she was just saying that she won't be able to attend, and she was wondering if we can make a. This is the email.
I got some information on that.
You got that one too?
So, in regards to that particular email, the request was that if it wasn't handled and one of the other entities that was involved with the communication was UNHS, Michael Jensen said he would pay the difference. And so he was able to contact the septic company and pay the difference. So that request of the amount that Sylvia's talking about is not necessarily needed, but since the findings were that the grease trap tank has a crack in it, that's going to have to be addressed at a later point in time.
Okay.
But UNHS did step in and paid the difference on the pump spaces.
Okay. Well, perfect. And hopefully with the way that we're addressing this with just changing the scope of work, it'd be fine regardless of that amount. So I think we're good there.
Okay.
All right. Any other discussion on that motion? All right. All in favor say aye.
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 And Herman, did you vote? Herman, you're on mute.
Oh, I'm sorry. Aye. I vote.
Right. And aye. All right. Any opposed? Okay, that appears to be unanimous for the Navajo Mountain items. They are approved. Okay, item 5I, expiring grants for renewal or closure.
Yeah, so we have 9 grants that are expiring. And I actually didn't get a chance to connect with the chapters on these before. They're expiring here at the end of this month. So usually we review these with the chapters and with the trust fund to identify which projects can be closed and which can't. But I didn't have a chance to do that before this meeting. So I just want to give the board the heads up and maybe we can review this at the next meeting.
I was going to say, can we still
we've done that.
Prove that if we can close the next one? Okay. Well, if that's the case, unless there's any objection from members of the board, let's go ahead and wait till you've had the chance to review those with the chapters and the trust fund. Okay. Well, that concludes that section of the agenda. We are now on item 6, which is scheduling the next board meeting. It looks like our next meeting is in September. I think what would be great is if we could have the meeting at the same time, or at least the same date, slightly later time, from the Navajo Trust Fund meeting, which I believe is going to be on the Friday the 19th in the morning. Mari, do you know if the time has been scheduled for that one yet?
Not concretely.
Not okay.
We did plan to hold that off-site, but that's not like it's going to happen. And
this is the one in September, not the August.
Oh, not the August. Okay. Same answer.
Same answer. Yeah. All right. Well, maybe what we can do is not concretely also put a pin on that day for the calendar. I would assume that the UNTF meeting would be in the morning if we go that day. If we look at like
morning 10.
Okay. So 10. If we just like, what would be the good time for us to start then, assuming that we can?
Probably just after lunch, like 1 or 2.
So 1 or 2? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's, does that work for board members if we do that on Friday, September 19th at 1 o'clock? I'm not hearing any opposition to that, so maybe for now we'll put that as a placeholder, and I'll have Paul send out an email if we once we have that finalized. All right, well, that brings us to the end of our agenda. Thank you, everybody, for attending and for sticking with us through this agenda. We really appreciate the good discussion and what we've been able to accomplish. And with that, I would accept the final motion.
Motion.
All right, we have a motion from Herman. Do you have a second?
Second.
Motion to adjourn. Sorry. Thanks for
that. Okay. Motion for something. Yeah.
Okay. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. We are adjourned. Again, thanks so much, everybody. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.